The Money Show.
Shapeshifters.
Our shapeshifter this evening is Butlari Valoi, founder of Zalsi, a on-demand delivery platform. You can buy pretty much anything in your immediate area. You get it delivered to you within an hour. And they call themselves the world's first digital mall. Now, an old story I found said they deliver alcohol. Butlari, have you got some sort of secret back door that allows booze deliveries? I'm guessing that's maybe just a little bit out of date, and maybe you'll be reinstalling that particular function fairly soon. But how's lockdown treated you?
Yeah, it's been great, Bruce. And good evening to you, Bruce, and to all the listeners all over South Africa. I'm excited to be chatting with you tonight. The lockdown has been great for us, for the business. I think we've just been continuing what we've been doing ever since we started in 2016. And it's just been, you know, the business as usual, but the growth has been great for us.
What was the motivation in 2016? I mean, what got you and your partners together to decide to launch an online delivery platform in an environment where online delivery is not, certainly not in 2016, wasn't exactly a national pastime. It wasn't a hobby that we all engaged in.
Yeah, look, I think, myself and my partner, Michael and HP, so we've always been big dreamers, you know. One thing that we noticed back then was groceries were not the biggest category, you know, in e-commerce, and we didn't understand why, you know. And for us, we had that big drive to say, how can we make this one of the biggest category in e-commerce? In fact, when we look at it, we realize that one of the reasons why e-commerce is not big, whether if it's in South Africa or if you look in the US or everywhere in the whole world, is because groceries are not online. And that's the reason why we decided to go into groceries, to say, how can we then transform this industry? And by doing so, then you can actually get the e-commerce industry as a whole to become big online. And once you do that, then, you know, people then get used to ordering stuff online and other categories as well. It then becomes easier for it to follow suit as well.
What was the value proposition? What was the idea when you launched? Because each one of the big supermarket groups, as I understand it, have got their own ordering platforms. They've got their own delivery mechanisms. Did you simply slot into what they were doing? Have you substituted those in some cases?
No, actually, myself and my partner, we come from a tech background, right? So, in fact, I think we maybe were like the underdogs at the time, you know. I think we were very good with tech, you know. And one thing that we never doubted was we could actually build the best technology that none of the retailers had at the time, you know. So, for instance, what we started doing when in 2016 we launched, what we did then, we built a platform where you could actually replace missing products in real time, you know. This is something that was not there. None of the retailers were offering that, you know. So a customer will go into the platform, buy their groceries, and by the time you receive your groceries, some of the critical items were not there and you're not informed, or someone have substituted your items with the wrong items, you know.
So there's nothing more from you. I mean, the thing, sorry to interrupt you there, Butlari. I mean, one of the things that put my family off doing this was you'd order apples and you'd get bananas. We substituted. And it's like, oh, please, can you just not do that? And it's one of the great frustrations. I think things have improved since those days. But how would it work? Would I go onto the Zalsi platform and order my groceries through you? Or would I go onto a Woolies or a Checkers platform and order my groceries there and say, I'd like Zalsi to deliver them to me? How did that work?
Yeah, so we built a platform. This platform allows you as a customer to place your order from different stores. So we've got Woolworth, Pick and Pay, Clicks, Dis-Chem, Tops, you know, obviously Tops is closed now, Pick and Pay Liquor. You go in there, you choose the product that you want. You can see the full catalog of what they offer in store. And then what we have behind the scenes, we've got pickers who then go to the store, pick the items. And what we have done, though, is we have actually... we allow our pickers to actually shop, like to communicate with the customer in real time. So if something is missing in store, they will send you an alternative in the app, right? They can suggest something different, you know, to say this product is not available and this is what we recommend. And as a customer can then accept that in app. And then the shopper can then continue to shop for the items. And then you get the stuff delivered to your door within an hour, which I think it's been great for us. In fact, to a point where when we looked at it, even some of the biggest retailers, for instance, started to approach us to say, hey, how do we work with you guys? You know, an example of that being Checker 66, who came to us to say, you guys have built an amazing platform, you know. How do we replicate the same thing? And then that's when we started helping them, you know. And today, you know, when I look at it in the market, I mean, Zozi and Checker 66 are, you know, like, I don't know, I'm not blowing my own horn, but I think these are some of the best work we've done, you know, when it comes to retail.
Because I look at the economics of this, and I then have a shopping list, and my shopping list requires me, because I only want Woolies milk, and I only want Checkers bread, and I only want Smirnoff vodka, and I also, there's a nice bakery close to where I live, and I like their donuts. So I'd like those items, and I'd like them in the next hour, please. How do the economics work from your perspective to ensure that I get my delivery in an hour and you make a profit on it?
Yeah, so what we do is we've got different pickers. So what we do is we select, like, we call them hubs, right? So we would have a hub where we would have all the stores, and the stores are very close to your customer. So as a customer, when you go into the app, when you search for, let's say you, first of all, what you have to do is obviously you have to select, you put your address there, and with the address, then you're able to see all the stores around your area. So those stores that you'll see around your area will be about 6 kilometers away from you. What we do behind the scenes is we've got pickers. These are young guys, you know, from all over in South Africa. Some of them were not employed. We took these guys, we vetted them, we trained them. And then these guys, their job, what they do every day is just to go to different stores, pick the items, right? So if you order from these different stores, what will happen behind the scenes is different orders will get routed to different shoppers depending on how much orders they have. Do they have capacity to work on these things as quickly as possible? So that allows us to actually work on your orders as quickly as possible. As much as you would have ordered from different stores, we're able to actually route these orders to different pickers who are stationed in what we call our hubs, you know. And the hub is just an area where we've got all the stores that are in the app.
But if I wanted five different orders, one item from five different stores, is my charge $45 for that one shopping experience, or $45 for each stop in each store? Because the economics of this thing seem crazy.
Yeah, look, I think you know, one of the key things is definitely, like, working on the economics, you know, in terms of, like, does it make sense to a customer? I think one thing that I can say right now is we have managed to scale a platform to a point where we've done well on the higher LSM. And right now what we're focusing on is how do you get onto the middle LSM to the lower LSM? And the unit economics definitely needs to make sense for us to penetrate that industry. At the moment, you pay different delivery fees, but we have got a plan to say, how can we actually make it a point where you don't actually even pay a delivery fee? You know, we believe it's something that's possible, and we've been working a lot more with different brands as well. So brands will come onto our platform to offer things like advertising, offer coupons, and we've signed up a couple of brands. Probably about 70% of big brands work with them very closely today, you know. And that allows us to offer like low prices to the middle LSM going to the lower LSM. Because I think what we figure out is, as much as we're growing the platform, growing the volume, we realize that if you don't build something that's very inclusive in South Africa, it becomes very difficult for you to scale, you know.
It's a tiny upper LSM market, isn't it? And so therefore you need a mass market offering, and you are developing and on track for that. Vutlari Valoy is our shapeshifter this evening, the co-founder of Zalzi. It is an on-demand delivery platform. We're learning all about that. They and Checkers 6060 seem to have a formula that is working better than most at the moment. Are they as good as they seem to be? Your feedback, please, on 31702 and 31567.
The Money Show. Shapeshifters.
Vutlari Valoy, our shapeshifter this evening, a co-founder of Zalzi. Before this COVID-19 crisis hit, Vutlari, how many regular users did you have on the platform?
Yeah, look, I think before this, we're growing gradually. When I look at it year on year, we're growing at like 300% year on year, which was great. You know, in terms of number of users, we had like about, like, let's say 15,000 active users every month. We'll go in
15,000.
Yeah. So COVID-19 definitely accelerated things. When I look at even our projections that we had for even our investors, we thought we'll get to where we are today by next year, sometime in March, you know. So COVID-19 definitely did something in terms of accelerating the growth. which is great, you know.
So how many active users do you have now?
So at the moment we have about like 35,000 active users. Okay. These are guys who are regularly ordering on our platform. Like an active user, we define it as someone who orders on our platform once a month.
Okay, so I mean that is exponential growth. And how disruptive was it? Because one of the great criticisms, certainly on social media platforms, as we saw the lockdown taking hold, was people couldn't get slots for deliveries of anything for weeks and months ahead. I mean, if you'd ordered a loaf of bread, I think, and on the 26th of March, you would have received it last week based on some of the delivery timelines that people were talking about.
Yeah, look, I think no one was ready for this. I think there were two problems. You know, first of all, is even the retailers were not ready. So you'll go there, you know, like a customer have ordered like bread, but it's not there in the shelves. You know, so what it meant is every delivery platform had to make sure that you're communicating with each and every customer, replacing all the products. You know, but after a while, then we, you know, like because there was a lot of panic bias as well in the market. But after a while, then people realize that, you know what, we don't have to stock up the items and we must just show, you know. So that actually helped in terms of, you know, like making sure from our side as well that, you know what, we're fulfilling all the orders on time. And then we also added more capacity as well. What we saw as well in the market is there was a lot of drivers that were available. I mean, all the e-hailing platforms were not operating. So most of the drivers were out of job and they were looking for work from us. So we're kind of like we started to have more capacity over a period, but in the beginning it was very, very difficult.
I'm sure. I mean, how do you ensure that you keep with the delivery promise? I phone and I say I want the five items I've forgotten about already, but I mentioned earlier, and I'd like them in an hour, please. And there are five queues, six people deep in each store. There's a queue outside the store now because actually it's a busy time, and you're not going to make the deadline. I mean, it's matching and meeting expectations in quite a stressed environment.
Yeah, look, I think one of the key things is also like making sure that on your platform, customers can track everything. So, you know, like so that they don't have high hopes in terms of like, am I going to get this thing in an hour or in 2 hours, you know? So one of the things that we have done is as a customer, you're able to see it in real time. You know, when the shopper is picking the items, you can actually usually see on the app that this guy have actually picked my cucumber or my bananas. So that actually helps in terms of on the other side, the customer expectations, and you can also chat to your shopper as well in real time. You know, you can ask them what is going on. I see you haven't started shopping for my items, and then they can respond to you to say, hey, like I'm still on the line or whatever the case is. You know, but also what have been helpful from our side is we have been working a lot closely with a lot of retailers as well, where we have dedicated tools, so some of their shoppers are allowed to go in and use the dedicated tools. That has been very helpful. In fact, when we look at it, it's actually helping the retailers because now they were able to drive more sales by allowing our shoppers to just go in, skip the line, and pick the items. And
it's like Randburg Home. It's like a Randburg Home Affairs, Vutari. You arrive, you think you're in the front of the queue, and you're not really because somebody's done a deal with somebody, and it's like, but anyway, nobody knows it's you, so it's fine.
Yeah, but it's very helpful we really want to protect everyone. We want to protect our customers. We want to make sure that people stay at home and they stay safe. And the only way to do it right now is just by shopping online.
How do you convince your customers of the health aspects of this? Because I'm now trusting Zelzi to do the cleaning stuff. They're going to two or three retailers on my behalf who may or may not be up to scratch in terms of what is expected of them in terms of health regulations. Are you providing any kind of guarantees? How are you managing our fear, legitimate fear around COVID-19?
Yeah, look, I think we're taking that very serious. So one of the things that we do is we make sure, for instance, in the morning, all the shoppers, all the drivers, we test them, you know, check their temperatures to make sure that if anyone is not within the right temperature, we send them home, you know. So those are some of the things that we have done. And what we also do is we make sure that the guys sanitize their hands regularly. We provide them with shoes, with gloves. And in fact, you know, like gloves, we also recommend that, you know, when you use gloves, you like when you're done with the first order, you destroy those gloves, sanitize regularly. So those are some of the controls that we had to put in place. In fact, we spent a lot of time making sure that we train our staff to get used to the new norm, you know, and we don't know how this new norm is going to be with us for. So we had to invest a lot of time in doing that, you know. And to this day, I mean, one thing I'm proud of is we haven't had any case, you know, where one of our staff had corona. And the reason why it's like that is because we've been taking precautionary measures from the beginning. In fact, from February when we got a news from one of the guys that we work with, one of the FMCGs, who said, you know what, like this thing has been taking over. We're not running a campaign with you. We then started to take this thing serious. We started to educate the guys who work for us about, like, what is this coronavirus? Why we should take this thing serious, you know? So from our side, we were, like, expecting it. We knew that it was coming to our country, and we had to prepare for it. So that helps us to, it helped us to prepare for what is already happening now, because it was going to be very difficult for us to train people if we didn't prepare for it earlier.
Vutari Valoi, thank you very much for sharing with us this evening. Really strong growth coming through in COVID-19. Lots of disastrous business stories, lots of sad stories in business, and a growing number of success stories as people who are well positioned for uncertain times are able then to grow their businesses, in some cases exponentially, as a result of the problems that the country and all of us face at this time. People who don't capitulate, people who make a plan and work around the issues rather than allow the obstacles to define what they're doing. They work around those obstacles, which is really nice to see. The story of Zalzi this evening. A quick update on the currency, by the way. I think it's important that you get this ahead of tomorrow's interest rate announcement. To the dollar this evening at 17.94, the pound at 21.95, the euro at 19.70. Huge gains coming through, weirdly, ahead of an interest rate cut tomorrow on the currency markets.